From the Diocese of Gallup, welcome to Crozier Cast. I'm Suzanne Hammonds, Director of Communications, and as always, with me is your host, Bishop James Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you this afternoon?
I'm well, Suzanne. How are you?
Good. So, we are going to talk a little bit about something we haven't touched on before, and it's sort of the obvious topic in this season of the year, which is Advent. So, everybody knows that this is the Christmas season, this is the season of Advent, but maybe not everyone understands, you know, what is a season, what makes it different than the rest of the year, why do we have it, what does it mean? So for those who may not understand it or kind of briefly have heard about it, we're going to take a little bit of a deep dive into it. So we wanted to touch a little bit on the season of Advent for those who may not be familiar, or maybe you've kind of got a brief overview of it back in Sunday school, or you've never really gotten a brief introduction to it. Could you just sort of take us through it? What is Advent exactly?
Sure. Well, in terms of the liturgical year, it's the beginning of the liturgical year, and Advent is the first 4 weeks of the liturgical year, and it leads up to Christmas. And with Advent itself, it takes a look at or prepares for the two comings of Christ. So we anticipate an event which has already taken place in time, and that's the birth of our Savior. And just like any birthday, we want to make sure that we celebrate it. We don't let it pass by. But His birthday is very different because Jesus comes into the world to redeem us, to save us from our sins, and to offer us the gift of eternal life. So 4 Sundays of Advent allow us, not only the Sundays, but during the week too, they allow us to really focus on that time. The other coming that we look forward to is the second coming of our Lord. Now we know that our Lord promised us that He would come back, and we know that His words are true, they're perfect, and so we can trust in our Lord's words that when He comes again, and this is really what we focus on too during the season, that He will find us watching and waiting and ready. And to be ready means that we're being good and faithful disciples of Christ. We're being His friends. He tells us, you are my friends if you keep my commandments. And we're daily living out our faith by loving our God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And when we talk about ourselves, I always like to remind people that our neighbor is anyone other than myself. We should have good, healthy love for ourselves, because we're created by God in His image and likeness, but to love our neighbor as ourself, and that means that a neighbor is anyone other than myself. Family, friends, co-workers, people in school, complete strangers. And so it gives us an opportunity to really focus on that. And there's a bit of a couple shifts that take place during the season of Advent. The third season of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, takes its words from its title from the very first words of the antiphon for that Sunday, which is rejoice. And so that's the day that you might see the priest can continue to wear violet and continue to wear that color, but he has the option of wearing rose. And like I always like to remind everyone, Father doesn't dress in pink, he dresses in rose. That's the color for the season. And then also on the 17th, there's a little shift in the liturgy too. And I think it really is, it's a joyful shift, and it really heightens our expectation to celebrate His birth and look forward to His second coming. And the shift that we start to see is we start to see the O antiphons. And this should be familiar to us because of O come, Emmanuel. And so for each of the day, there's a different O antiphon for that day. And again, it kind of elevates the liturgy, it kind of heightens our sense. You know, before, maybe if we have visitors that are coming, you know, we start to get excited about it. We prepare a little more, and we look forward to seeing family or friends. And what this does for us is it heightens our excitement, our joyfulness, and it really gives us an opportunity to ultimately prepare our hearts for the coming of our Lord, an event which has already taken place, the birth, and toward His second coming, which we long for.
And could we go a little bit deeper into what makes this season different than the Lenten season? So you mentioned that there's the two comings of Christ. Why are we focused more on joy in this season versus more on sorrow in the Lenten season?
Well, the Lenten season is the penitential nature of the Lenten season is probably the strongest of any of the seasons throughout the year. And for Lent, what do? At the very beginning, and we call to mind our sins. We're very mindful of our sinfulness. And what we do is we go into the desert with our Lord, 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and praying. We have days of fast, we have days of abstinence. And what it does is it leads us up to Holy Week, our Lord's entrance into Jerusalem, and ultimately culminates on Good Friday, where our Lord sacrifices life, the beautiful, most beautiful act of love the world has ever seen, by mounting the wood of the cross and freely giving of his life. And then on Easter Sunday, or in particular at the vigil of Easter, what we do is we celebrate his resurrection, which is a victory over sin and death. So it causes us to, you know, meditate upon our own sins a little more, which causes us hopefully to go to a sacrament of penance, and during that we receive pardon and absolution. And then we might have a particular penance that we're called to do. So for that reason, it changed it a little, and the colors are similar too. But with this, the culmination, well, there is a penitential nature to the season. The culmination of Advent is the birth of our Savior, and that's much, much more joyful than when we get to Good Friday, which is good because he sacrificed his life for us so that we might be forgiven our sins and receive the reward of eternal life. But obviously one is a little more joyful than the other because of Good Friday. It really causes us to meditate upon our own sinfulness.
Now, we're well aware in Lent, often, you know, we remember every day to make some kind of sacrifice or take some kind of action every day leading up to Lent. But what are some things we can do every day during Advent to sort of get ourselves in the same frame of mind?
Well, I think what we can do, because it's a new beginning, and think about people have New Year's resolutions, and this is a new liturgical year. And I think one of the things that we can do is we can make resolutions, and we can make resolutions about the spiritual life. So we can look at our own prayer life and say, you know, is it good? Is it bad? Is it an even improvement? Does it need to shift a little bit, whatever the case is? And, you know, we can do something like maybe if we're not accustomed to it, we might pray the rosary once a day. Rosary takes about 20 minutes. That's not a lot of time. But what it does allows us to do is to meditate upon the life of Christ through the intercession and the eyes of the Blessed Virgin Mary. What a great gift that is to be able to do that with Our Lady. So, you know, maybe add the rosary, or add the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And so we can kind of increase our prayer life. One of the things that I always find interesting is during this season of Lent, that a lot of people will go to daily Mass. That's a great thing to do, and I never want to discourage that. But then when Easter comes, they kind of fall away. So I think what you want to do is you want to keep that momentum going. And so maybe one of the things that people can do is they can choose to go to Mass, daily Mass, during the season of Advent. Or, you know, we always go to Mass on Sunday, or Holy Days of Obligation, Holy Day of Obligation, Immaculate Conception. So we always, you know, we always go to Mass on those days. But if we're not able to maybe increase it by going to Mass every day, maybe taking a day like Wednesday and say in the middle of the week, I'm going to go to Mass and I'm going to meditate upon the Word, and I'm going to be able to receive our Lord present in the Eucharist. Something we can always do. And this is what I mean, when the Lord, when he comes, he wants to find us watching and ready and being good and faithful disciples. So I think one of the things to do too, because there is a little bit of a penitential nature of the season, is to go to confession. I always like to encourage people to go to confession on a regular basis. Even if they find that they're not guilty of having committed mortal sin. And the reason for that is it gets you in the good practice, right? And even if the kind of the venial sins start to stack up in your life, it allows us to really think about ourselves and through the grace of God, put those sins behind us, start fresh, start anew. So, new liturgical year, make the time to go to penance, sacrament penance. And a lot of parishes will have a communal penance service. And so that's another thing to do. And probably one of the most important things that we can do during Advent is not to let the time pass by simply by spending our entire Advent season shopping. Shop till you drop is not the theme of Advent, right? Theme of Advent is that joyful longing and waiting for our Lord's coming. And so not to let that time pass by, and to know that there is an actual season of Advent and there's an actual season of Christmas, right? It's not was it Black Friday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shopping holiday.
Yeah, it's not Black Friday.
Cyber Monday.
Yeah, and then Cyber Monday. And then Christmas isn't just one day. It is a day, but it's also a season that follows. And so don't let the time pass by. Really, look for that spiritual growth during the season of Advent.
And to follow up with that too, if even taking 20 minutes out of the day every day sounds like a lot of commitment, you are doing once a week on Wednesdays, I think, in the season of Advent, rosary. And even just spiritually, people could join in, even just once a week.
We do. This is, I think, about our fifth year of doing this. And the purpose for this is for healing. And the healing that we are seeking is we're seeking a healing for victims or survivors of sexual abuse. And that can be anyone and that experience that they might have had. And so what we do is we gather on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock at the Sacred Heart Retreat Center. And we pray a rosary. And we also have a few other prayers that we add in there, prayers for survivors and victims of sexual abuse. And it's beautiful, it really is. It's beautiful because, the response to any sort of darkness, any sort of sin, is to look to God, look to the light, right? Christ is forever the light of the world. And so I have found it very, very powerful. We do it during the season of Lent. We do the Stations of Cross on Wednesday nights for the same intention. Now, during Advent, we have these beautiful reflections that come from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and they're specifically for this topic. And many of the people that come find them very moving, as I do. And so, I think that's another way of increasing the prayer life and doing something good for your fellow man. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever might believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And those words that we focus on, really we look at, the greatest gift of all, the gift of the Father who gives us his son. And so we also want to say, okay, how can I, in imitation of our loving God, be loving toward my fellow man too?
Yeah. And actually, to follow up on that, we didn't really discuss this during our pre-show discussion, but I just kind of thought of it as a question.
Uh-oh.
For those who, sometimes during the holidays, sadly, we do see that there are people who have suffered, maybe it's from abuse, maybe they're just feeling extra lonely, maybe they don't have any local friends, maybe they've recently experienced a tragedy. For those who are, instead of feeling joy, feeling some sort of despair or loneliness, what advice would you offer to them?
You're never alone with God, right? God really is your closest companion. And so to be mindful of that. This season, as we all know, here comes the train. This season, as we all know, can be a time of increased depression, anxiety, loneliness, a lot of those things. This can be a season. One of the pieces of advice I would say is, if you're experiencing loneliness or any of these things, you're experiencing from loss, maybe loss of a family or a friend, look to and see if there's a local grief counseling group that you can get involved in. And, you know, what that do is that can help you gain some support and also can let you know that you're not alone. So I think that's a one thing to do. If something like that's not open to you, then maybe seek out a counselor. And, you know, counseling sometimes can be a little expensive, and if you're not able to do that, well, look to maybe there might be some, like Catholic Charities might be able to offer counseling, or a local parish, local church might be able to counseling. So reach out to someone. The tendency is to withdraw, and all that can do is that can draw you deeper and deeper, almost into a spiraling of depression or anxiety or loneliness. But to take little steps and kind of reach out to others who might be a source of support. But again, to remember, you're never alone. You're never alone. God is always there with us. So that's another reason to kind of pour out our lives in prayer.
Then that's a good note, too. I know there are also recently in years, there have been sort of national counseling centers of various types, but a lot of them are anonymous and very open, but they sprung up online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a simple website. We can link to some of those in our show notes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
So moving on a little bit, do you have any favorite, we mentioned the Rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Do you have any favorite passages or ideas for people to volunteer? Maybe like instead of a day of shopping or something, should families seek out a place to volunteer for a day, even with their kids? You have any ideas?
I think that's a great idea. When I was growing up, one of the things my parents had us do was we participated in St. Vincent de Paul Society. That was my parents' ministry, but they also included us. I can remember in high school when I was able to drive, and when I was able to drive, the responsibilities that came with it. And one of those was going down to the local donut shop at 5 a.m. on Sunday and getting donuts, and then after the 6:30 or 7 o'clock mass, standing outside and selling donuts. And I always feel sorry for those poor parishioners filing past a 16-year-old boy with probably a scowl on his face because he wasn't happy to be up that early. But to get involved in things like that. And so we would every once in a while, as a family, would go down to the shelter in downtown Phoenix. But our thing that we consistently did was that. And then again, too, when I was able to drive, periodically I was in charge of driving around some of the seniors who couldn't drive, and taking food boxes or gift boxes to different people in the area of our parish in the town where I grew up in Chandler, Arizona.
Yeah, I know a lot of parishes will do like an adopt a family kind of a thing too. It can even be fun if you're already doing Christmas shopping to go out and find something for a family if that's an activity. But anyway.
Yeah, they'll do like, I think the cathedral has an angel tree.
I think that's what they call it. So.
And when I was pastor of St. Thomas the Apostle in Phoenix, we had a couple giving trees. And it was really exciting to see that first weekend because everything flew off the tree. Nothing remained. And sometimes there was some pretty big ask on that tree, but the people just, they looked so forward to that. We used to do we'd set up a crib in our church, and there's a great place called Maggie's Place that helps pregnant women who might be living on the street, might be homeless, might not, you know, have the support that they need. And they would bring them in and take care of them that way. And they would even stay for quite a period after they give birth to their child. And so we would do like a bottle drive. We'd have baby bottles and people would take them home and fill them up with cash, you know, change or whatever. And they would bring in diapers and all the stuff that you really need. And a lot of the biggest thing that we'd bring in was cash, though. That was always exciting to do. And so that's maybe getting something like that going in your local parish. I know it might be a little late right now, but to look toward that, maybe in the season of Lent, or maybe in the season again of Advent. And we think about it, it's a season where everybody talks about the gift giving at Christmas. Really, the greatest gift is our Lord, easily. And so, you know, the giving of the gifts that we to our friends and loved ones, people who are important to us, you know, is a reflection of God's love and His gift to us. And so, you know, to see how we can do something like that too. You know, giving something to a local charity, Little Sisters of the Poor, the Missionaries of Charity, communities that specifically do charity work with the poorest of the poor. Yeah. that's a great thing to do, I think.
And sort of moving on into the home stretch here, You know, it was funny, the other day I realized a couple people told me the topic came up, and they had never even heard the song God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. It wasn't that they didn't know the words, they just hadn't even heard it, which astonished me, because I realized that not everyone is Christian or anything like that, but, you know, you'd think that something like that is just so common in our historically in our culture. And it was sort of shocking to realize. So as we move forward in, you know, in our world and everything in the years to come, and in the Christmas season, what's a good way to make sure that, you know, it's fun to celebrate all the secular parts of it and the materialistic parts, sure, to an extent, but how do we also keep the spiritual aspects in mind and not become completely materialistic?
One of the things I do during Lent is I choose not to listen to any other kind of radio with the exception of Catholic radio. I'm a bit of a sports junkie, and I can listen to sports talk on and on and on. And so I'll kind of make that choice to do that. I think that we start playing Christmas music way too early. But I think, you know, when Advent starts, I think it's a good time to play Christmas music, especially religious Christmas music, because what it really does is it recalls the birth of our Savior. It recalls the great gift. And so, you know, I think that's one of the good things to do that can kind of keep our attention or our focus. I'm a big fan of the Magnificat magazine or a little booklet for daily mass and for morning prayer and evening prayer. And, you know, to read that, even if you're not able to get to mass, read that, read the reflections, read the story about the saints. And because they're all focused on the season of Advent. And then when we move into the next season, Christmas, then they're all focused on Christmas. So I think that's a great thing to do, to immerse ourselves in the Word. Yeah, I think it's a great thing to do.
Awesome. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. As I said a little earlier, not to let the time pass by, but to see the season of Advent as an opportunity, which we really look forward to our Lord's second coming, but also celebrate His coming, which has already taken place in time at His birth. And to see that it really is it's a time of hope, and it's a time of great joy. And, you know, where is our hope? Our hope is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so to always keep that before us.
Excellent. Okay, Bishop, well, thank you again for sitting down with us as we move forward in this Advent season. And everyone else, as we go forward, we hope that you have a very Merry Christmas season. God bless.
God bless. Thank you.